Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to God's House, the fifth already of our midweek Lenten services. So we are fast approaching the day of the celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And we hope that these Lenten services are helping us to prepare for that and to bring us to really a fullness of joy on that great day of celebration. So it's a Lent to remember. That's been our theme. And so we've been talking about all the different ways that God uses the word remember in his word. And so far it's been all about remembering, obviously. But tonight we kind of take a bit of a different twist. And really the cover says it all there where you see Jesus. It says that last phrase, "I will not remember your sins." A little different twist on things. That's amazing when you start to think about it. We want to talk about that tonight and revel and rejoice in this great promise of God. I will not remember your sins. Peace be with you all as we worship now together. And we'll get started with our opening hymn. All right, we sing the praise of Him Who Died, 429.
We sing the praise of Him who died, of Him who died upon the cross, the sinner's hope. Let all deride, for this we count the upon the cross we see in shining letters God is love. He bears our sins upon the tree. He brings us mercy from above. Cross it takes our guilt away. It holds the fainting spirit up. It cheers with hope the gloomy day and sweetens every bitter. Coward spirit brave and nerves the feeble arm for fight. It takes the terror from the grave and gilds the death that death with light. The balm of life, the cure of woe, the measure and the pledge of love, the sinner's refuge here below, the angel's theme in heaven above. To Christ who won for sinners grace by bitter grief and anguish sore, be praise from all the ransom race forever and forevermore.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Lord works righteousness and justice
for all who are oppressed.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
And he will not always chide,
nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his manifest love toward those who fear him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you still abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our psalm verses this evening are from the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. There are certain hymns that specifically convey the central meaning of a single passage of the Scriptures. Our next hymn is one such hymn, based on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, the Greek word for the worst is the word protos, which is a superlative that can also be translated as the foremost, which it often is translated that way. The author of this hymn chose the English synonym chief, as in chief of sinners. But whatever word is chosen, the meaning is inescapable. Each of us is the most sinful when viewed through the lens of God's law. And this is not just a matter of feeling like you are the chief of sinners, but Christian humility knows this to be true. I am the worst. But the lyrics of this hymn also highlight even greater themes of grace, of forgiveness, and of the transformative power of faith in Jesus Christ. God does not remember repented sin. And in Christ, he sees us as protos, as the foremost, the chief among those whom he has forgiven. The text of this hymn was written by an Irish bookseller, William Macomb, and was included in a book of poetry that he first published in 1864, just 1 year before the outbreak of civil war in America. We sing this hymn to the tune Gethsemane, which was composed by Richard Redhead, a noted choir master who directed vocal groups in churches in Oxford and London, England. And as we prepare to sing this hymn, let's first pray.
Lord Jesus, by virtue of my transgressions, I am the chief of sinners. But by virtue of Christ's death upon the cross, I am also chief among those who are forgiven and redeemed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And help us by your Spirit to be faithful witnesses for you. Amen. Let's join then to sing, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, number 611 in your hymnal.
Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die, as the branches to the vine.
First reading this evening is from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for not remembering our sins and our sinfulness, which are all known to you. Assured of your love and confident in your forgiveness, we seek greater opportunities to serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise for the verse and the gospel. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Hear now the reading of the Passion narrative from St. John's Gospel, chapter 18. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join our voices to sing, "Jesus, Refuge of the Weary."
Jesus, refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love, fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above. Often have your eyes offended, gazed upon the sinner's fall, yet upon the cross extended, you have borne the pain of all. Do we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow? Though we see you wounded, bleeding, us life eternal, peace and rest. Only what your grace has taught us calms the sinner's deep distress. Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for you. May our eyes be ever turning to behold your cross anew, till in glory art endeavor from the blessed Savior's side, graven in our hearts forever,
dwell the cross, the crucified.
Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The text tonight is from the prophet Jeremiah 31, but he says about the same thing that we heard in our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah. So if you didn't catch it from Isaiah, I hope you catch it from Jeremiah, because these are important words for all of us to hear. We read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with them and the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is the word of God. There is a story about a city slicker visiting a cattle ranch, and was absolutely fascinated by this rancher's cattle dog. If you've ever seen these dogs do their work, they are just incredible, incredible beings. This dog would respond to different whistles from the rancher, and he would herd all of the cattle into the corral, and this dog would even shut the gate behind them and reach up and was able to latch the gate with her paws. And this city guy was just absolutely amazed and fascinated at what he had seen. And he said to the rancher, "Wow, that is some kind of dog. What's her name?" Rancher, now he's no spring chicken anymore, getting a little bit forgetful. So he said to the man, "Her name. What do you call that flower that's red, smells good, has thorns on the stem?" And the guy said, "A rose." He said, "That's it. That's it." And he turned now over to the house to call to his wife, "Rose, hey, what's the name of that dog again?" Forgetfulness is a common condition, right, as we grow older. Like the old woman who was at a nursing home and felt she had been disrespected by one of the nurse's aides. This nurse's aide had said something kind of condescending to her, something very obvious, as if she was infantile or something. And this young lady, she said, "Young lady, I have forgotten more in my years than you have ever learned." Maybe you've heard people say something like that. Some women, by the way, say that forgetfulness is a condition that is endemic among men who become husbands. My wife doesn't say that, but in any case, forgetfulness, as a general rule, is considered to be a net negative in life. It is a weakness of our flesh. You know, we get embarrassed when we forget things, or we get frustrated with ourselves when we can't come up with that person's name, or we just get upset. We are afraid of diseases that might
steal our memory away from us. So the lack of memory is generally a net negative in our lives. And we might wonder how God could forget anything, because God has no weaknesses, right? But what I declare to you today is that when God forgets, it is not at all a sign of weakness. It is not a negative. It's not a bad thing, but just the opposite. When he forgets, that is a sign of his greatest strength and goodness. Because you see, sometimes remembering is a weakness. It's our weakness. Like when someone has offended you and you just cannot let it go, and you say, I will never forget what that person did to me. And now you carry that poison with you, coursing through your system for the rest of your life. Wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow just will ourselves to forget all of those times when people hurt us, all of those times when we were offended, all of those times when we did something stupid and we brought down terrible consequences upon ourselves? Wouldn't it be nice if we could forget all of those times of life that we don't want to remember and just be rid of all of that toxicity in our system? But we can't do that, can we? Even Paul, who is the greatest believer of all, right, in Jesus Christ, even he could never quite forget what he once was when he was a persecutor of Christ and said, I am the chief of sinners, the worst of them. He could not forget it, because sometimes remembering is a weakness. It's our weakness. When remembering means that we are holding on to a grudge, or we are resenting somebody for something they did or said, or there's lingering anger in us over something that was done in the past, or we're struggling with guilt. But our God is so good. And our God is so great that he can will himself to forget what he does not want to remember. And that's great, great good news for us who have done and said so many things we would just as soon God forgot. And sure enough, what do we read from both of these prophets tonight? I will remember their sins no more. And notice that God's forgetfulness is not weakness, but this is an act of his mighty will. And did you notice those words, no more? I will remember their sins no more. Those words suggest that he could remember them if he really wanted to, like he once did, but no more. Oh no, no more. I will remember them no more. So great is our God that he can will himself to override his own perfect memory and remember our sins no more. So far in our Lenten series, we've been looking at the things that, you know, God remembers, and the gracious action that God takes when he remembers these things. And so, for example, we started the Lenten season off, and I guess I wasn't here with you that night, but on Ash Wednesday, when God remembered from the creation that we are dust, and that we now must return to the dust because of our sin. And so what did he do? He recreated us. He made us new creatures in Jesus Christ. As we read, you are now a new creation in Paul's letter to Corinthians. Or when God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham, what did he do? He took action, and he saved us, and he rescued us just as he said he would. But tonight it's all kind of backwards. God does not remember our sins. And therefore, he does not take action against us. Because after all, how can you act on something you don't even remember? You ever done this? I did it just a little bit ago, a couple days ago, down to the basement. By the time I get down there, why did I come down here? Forgot. From the time I thought of it upstairs to the time I got downstairs, I was thinking about other things, and I forgot. And so I stand there down in the basement. Why did I come down here for it? I don't do anything. I just stand there not doing anything, because you cannot act upon something you don't even remember. And so this is our amazing God. Our amazing God, his forgetfulness is not a weakness. It's his greatest strength. God will not act on that which he does not remember. Whatever it is that we said or did to hurt him or to offend our neighbor, he doesn't remember it, so he cannot act on it. Now, if only you and I had that same strength of will to be able to forget what God has forgotten. But here again, remembering is a weakness for us, isn't it? Instead of reveling in the forgiving grace of God, you and I tend to hold on to the memories of the sins that we have committed. And we struggle with guilt and we stew in our guilt. Well, we've heard the absolution 1,000 times. We've come to the table of our Lord for his forgiving body and blood 1,000s of times. And yet we still struggle. We still think about those things. Just this morning, I was talking with a gentleman who said this very thing to me. He said, after this sermon, he said, I do just that. I still think about things I've done. And in stewing in our guilt, we're afraid of God. And we're afraid of his impending judgment. And I've known people on their deathbed, in their 90s, church all their life. And they're still afraid of God, still struggling with guilt, still don't think God can forgive them. And when they think of God, they're dismayed, they shudder. It's like what Job said, when I remember, I am dismayed, he said, and shuddering seizes my flesh. And the psalmist said, when I remember God, I moan. And Isaiah pleaded, O Lord, be not so terribly angry, and remember not our iniquity forever. Because you see, as human beings, we tend to remember our sins. And every time we remember what we did, the guilt just becomes fresh again, as if we'd just done it. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. When we remember our sins, our response does not have to be dismay or moaning or shuddering to think of God's judgment. Not if we repent and confess those sins. Maybe we confess it for the 1,000th time, but we keep doing it, knowing that God is quick to forget our sins and to forgive us. Those who moan and groan and shudder over their sins only know God as an angry judge, which is entirely appropriate for those who have rejected God's mercy in Jesus Christ. They ought to moan and shudder and groan when they think about their sins because of what they have coming. But for those of us who are in Christ, We know God. We know his heart. We know his nature. We know him as a God of patient love who abounds in steadfast mercy, a God of forgetful forbearance. We know that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance brings us to that place where our sins are removed from us, to that place where moaning and shuddering in abject fear of God is replaced by the joy of our salvation, the happy anticipation of our meeting with Jesus Christ, and the enjoyment in the meantime of a good conscience before God, of a heart that is free from the burden of guilt, because God says it is. Still, there is a bit of a head-scratcher here. How can God not remember our sin? How can that be? God is omniscient, is he not? He's all-knowing. How can he not remember something? And by the way, there is a kind of a parallel to this in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus, the all-knowing, omniscient Son of God, talks about the day of his return, and he says, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And we just scratch our heads and think, how can that be? How can the Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, how can he not know the day of his own return? And I don't want to get sidetracked into a theological discussion about how our omniscient, all-knowing God can possibly forget something. These are the times when we invoke Isaiah 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So I cannot rationally explain to you how our all-knowing, omniscient God can just forget your sins. I can't explain that to you, but what I can do is proclaim it to you, because it's the truth. It is a truth, and it's a promise that we can take to the bank and rejoice in the fact that when God sees us in Christ, when God sees the atoning blood of Jesus Christ covering us, he will not remember the sins that Christ's blood covers. But if it's logic you want, maybe a little bit more of a rational explanation as to how God can forget, well, let me try this. It's about the best I can do. You see, Scripture says that Christ has atoned for our sins. That is to say, he's taken them away from us. We read that tonight in the Psalm verses, right? He has taken our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Our sins were nailed to the cross. They have been drowned in the depths of the sea. How many ways does it have to be said? They're gone. So when God looks at us in Christ, there's nothing to see except Christ and his blood. But the sin? Nothing there to see. Christ did such a thorough job at the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, you know that he was heard. When he said, it is finished, it is finished. He did the job. It's done. He did such a thorough job at the cross of atoning for our sins that there is no sin there anymore for God to see. As they say, out of sight, out of mind. The mystery of how an all-knowing God can forget anything? All I can say is what Scripture says. In Christ, your sin is gone. There's nothing to be remembered. And this is the blessed hope of all who are in Christ through baptism and through Christian faith. As Jesus said, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I hope you heard that tonight for yourself. There were two elderly women, been friends their whole lives. They grew up together as girls. They went to school together in each other's weddings. they've known each other for their whole lives, but now they're elderly sitting together at a nursing home, and one of them looks over at the other and says, I know we've known each other all of our life, but for the life of me right now, I can't remember your name. Don't be angry with me, but what's your name again? And the other friend looks back at her and says, my name? Can I get back with you on that? You know, there may come a point in any one of our lives where we will forget our own name, but God does not. God remembers your name. Did you hear the Old Testament reading tonight? I called you by name. You are mine. Your name is one thing God will never forget. He has it inscribed on the palm of his hand. He knows how many hairs you've got up here on your head. He knows the silent prayers of your heart. But praise God, for all that he knows, he does not know your sin. He doesn't remember it. He remembers them no more. So that now, all of his actions toward you are peace and grace and forgiveness and every blessing. Let's pray. Oh, holy God, how can we sufficiently thank you that you have forgotten our sin? We don't understand how you can do that, but we hold to your promise. And we pray, oh Lord, that having been forgiven, you would strengthen us also to let go of the guilt and to revel and to rejoice in your abundant grace and blessing. And in the victory that Christ won for us at the cross, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, Lord, we pray, having been forgiven, we pray that you would strengthen us to live our lives in all that we do and say to your glory and praise, and to the honor of Jesus Christ, our dear Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's join to sing in response the couple of stanzas of the theme hymn, Called to Remember.
Called to remember in this Lenten time, how for all sin our blessed Savior died. And ashes, voices joined in prayer. We turn to Christ and seek forgiveness there. My hope's foundation.
Together then for prayer.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father, have mercy and hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Lord, keep this nation under your care, and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins by which we become your people and you our God. O Lord, as you have promised, remember not our sins, but by the sacrificial suffering and death of Jesus, put them away from us forever. We pray that by a sure, confident trust in your word, we may experience the fullness of your forgiveness, a cleansed conscience, free from the burden of guilt. Help us now to walk in ways that honor your love and your sacrifice, and open our hearts to your word, that we may ever grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Together we pray the evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you, defend you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life.
Amen.
Go in peace as you serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our final hymn is an evening hymn, The Day Thou Gavest Now Is Ended.
The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended. Onward into light, strain of praise away. The sun that bids us rest is waking thy saints beneath the western skies, and hour by hour as day is breaking, fresh hymns of thankful praise arise. So be in, Lord, thy throne.